All right. Next week, we're doing a baptism. Woohoo! Next week, we're gonna kind of blend it into the end of our service. And probably a bunch of you don't know that, but that box over there is actually a tank. And so we're going to set up the church a little bit different. We're going to still have worship and preaching and all that. But kind of at the end of the service, we're going to baptize people. And so that's going to be fun. We try to do it every 6 months. It's probably been 2 years since we've done it. We do it in the summertime because we just love baptizing the river. But it's just not the way that it always works. So we're going to be doing a baptism next week. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about baptism. If you haven't been baptized, or even if you have and you want to get baptized again, we'd love to have you jump in the tank with us. And so anyway, if you're inspired by today and you want to get baptized, there's a sign up thing out there. But yeah, we're going to talk about baptism. And the water will be warm, by the way, just so you know. I can't control the weather. We'll see if I can control the water. We'll do our best. No, I don't want to make any promises, but it does have a heater on it. Yeah, so we're going to talk about baptism. Why should I get baptized? I'm going to give you the kind of simple, and then we're going to also build into the kind of amazing, fun, inspirational reason. But Matthew 28, we're going to be jumping all over in Scripture this morning. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Jesus said that, commissioning his disciples to actually do what he had been training them and pouring into them to do. And that was part of the instruction, is that as you make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's part of being a disciple. And then in Acts 2:41, it says those who accepted the message, this is after Peter preaches and the day of Pentecost, and all these people get, you know, the Holy Spirit, and God, you know, shows up in this amazing way. The Holy Spirit shows up in this amazing way. It says those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to that number. And so really the simplest, we're going to start at just kind of the simplest. Why should I get baptized? Why do I need to be baptized? Why does it matter? And really the simplest answer is we see it in Scripture, and because Jesus said so. And if you get nothing else, you understand nothing else, that's enough. That if we see it in Scripture, this is not the only place, but we see it in Scripture and Jesus made it clear that we should do it, then let's just do it. Now, being obedient is one thing. We can be obedient. We can see Scripture. We can pull apart Scripture, and we can find things that we need to do to be obedient. And baptism is one of those things that he asks us to do. So in obedience, we do it. But my nature, as probably many of you too, is that obedience just isn't enough. I want to be inspired. I want to be obedient, and I will be obedient, but I also want to be inspired. I think from the time that kids are about 3, they find this word. You guys know what it is? Why? Yeah, like a mother of a 3-year-old. Why? 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 And so there is a thing of, you know, once we get intolerant where we say, because I said so. And sometimes that's just it. Like, you actually, maybe you can't even understand the concept, but because, so just do what I say because I'm saying it. And but God is so loving and so inspiring that he takes us through more of the why, more of the what is baptism. And so we're going to kind of walk in through that. And I hope that, yes, we do it because we're told to. Yes, we do it because it's Scripture. Yes, we do it out of obedience. But we should also do things out of inspiration. And anytime we can find inspiration, anytime we can stir up excitement, I believe it just makes things a whole lot more fun. It just makes things more fun if we know not just that because God told me so, but that this is what this means, and this is what this represents in my life, and I'm actually excited to partner with God in it, and excited to be obedient. Does that sound good? Sound like a good idea? All right. We are baptized and we baptize because we believe something. Baptism is an external demonstration of an internal conviction. It's an external demonstration. So it's something we're doing on the outside. We don't make you drink the bath water. It's something you do on the outside. It's this external demonstration. That was supposed to be funny. I'm sorry. It wasn't funny. An external demonstration, something we demonstrate that shows, or because we have, or because we believe, or we have this internal conviction. Something happened inside of us, and so something is going to happen on the outside. Does that make sense? It's important that, and I'm going to be revisiting that idea, the idea of a demonstration of a conviction. An external demonstration of an internal conviction throughout this whole thing, because it's so important that we get things in the right order. That it is so important to believe or to be obedient. But I want to point out, and I'll point out a couple of different things, but that the Holy Spirit actually fell and took over the meeting, so to speak. God actually showed up in everybody's lives, but it was because that they believed the message that they were baptized in Acts that it talks about. To make disciples and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Being baptized doesn't make you a disciple, but being a disciple means you should get baptized. And it's so important to have it in the right order. I can't tell you how many times in the years that I've been in the church, I've been pretty much working full time in the church since I was 17 years old. And I can't tell you, that was a couple years ago. And I can't tell you how many times, baptized lots of people, and how many times people, when they say they need to be baptized, I say, well, why do you want to get baptized? For the forgiveness of my sins. Now, there's some scripture that supports the idea of that, but it's so important that we understand that Jesus forgives sins. That Jesus is actually the way, the truth, and the life. We'll hit that a little bit more. Turn your Bibles, if you haven't, to Matthew 3. And this is a story of Jesus being baptized. I'm going to grab some stuff out of it, and we're going to hopefully get inspired a little. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee. We're in 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Pretty amazing moment in history. If you flip again, like I said, if you write a bunch of verses down and flip over to Romans 6. Romans 6:3 says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We join Jesus through baptism. Baptism is the internal conviction and revelation that Christ died on the cross and was raised from the dead. In its simplest form, that's what baptism is. It's the connection, it's the understanding, it's the revelation, and it's the conviction inside that I believe what Scripture says in Romans 6, that we die with Him and we can live with Him. And that baptism is we go all the way under the water, we go down as just as Christ went down in death. When we come up, we don't hold you long enough to actually, but then you come up. It's not at that point that the water actually gives you new life. Now, crazy cool stuff can happen. The Holy Spirit shows up in all kinds of cool ways. But baptism is a representation. It's a demonstration of an internal conviction. Now, I want to look at this, what God actually spoke over Jesus, because I believe that, I'll say it like this. If anybody didn't need to get baptized, it was Jesus. So I want to actually step away from this, the idea that I need to get baptized. Now, that I believe that that is true, that we should get baptized, right? We started off with, we do it because Jesus said we should do it, and because the Bible says we should do it. Two very good reasons to do it. But I want to step away from that a little bit, just in our minds, and to actually step away from the idea that says, well, I need to get baptized. And actually step away from that, because I believe if anybody didn't need to get baptized, it was Jesus. Even John, when Jesus came to him, said, John said, what? No. This is supposed to be the other way around. Even John recognized it, right? And so Jesus declares, no, this has got to happen. But I want to look at what the Lord speaks over Jesus, what the Father speaks over Jesus as He comes out of the water, because I believe that as we get baptized into His death and life, and we actually, there's three things that the Father speaks over Jesus that I believe He also speaks over us. That through the revelation, excuse me, the revelation of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we actually partner with who Jesus is to the Father. It'll make more sense, I think, as we go, if you guys are getting me. So there's three things, but I think as we get into this, there's a couple things I've mentioned, but that are really important perspectives. One, I already mentioned that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father. Baptism, why that word is hard, difficult for me to say. Baptism is a public declaration of your alignment with that truth, that Jesus is the way. So it's important to just keep that in mind. And the main reason why I'm saying that is because I literally couldn't count how many times people come and say, I need to get baptized so my sins will be forgiven. So, and the number one, the second thing that's really important is all of these things that we're going to look at were already true. Just as there's a whole bunch of things that are true about you, this is the moment that Jesus becomes public. But the three things that the Father speaks over Jesus have always been true. And just as the things that He speaks over you as you align yourself through revelation and through conviction are true. In baptism is the moment that it becomes public. It's the public display of an internal conviction. So what's cool, the reason why, the way we know this in Jesus' sake is that the Father doesn't speak to Jesus. He speaks to everybody else. Maybe you never thought of it that way. But He says, this is my son. He doesn't say, hey, son. And say, hello, Jesus. Right? Why? Because Jesus and the Father have been talking all the time. The baptism isn't the moment that Jesus realizes that He's the Son. He already knew that. But it is the moment that the public finds out. And the second thing the Father says is that whom I love. Not a surprise to Jesus. Already true. And then the third thing is in whom I'm well pleased. Again, not a surprise to Jesus. The declarations that the Father is making over the Son are not for the Son. They're actually for the public. And I want to encourage you that it's just as important that we show up as public and we see, we witness what's going on in baptism. It's just as important as what's actually happening in baptism. Because the public display, how many of us know that you can go out all alone to any body of water, dunk yourself in and say, I'm baptizing myself in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And guess what? You're baptized. But you're missing a huge part of the point of baptism, which is a public display of the internal conviction. Are you with me? Okay. These things are true. The things over your life are true. Not because you get baptized, but they're true so you get baptized. I know it's like a subtle thing, but baptism doesn't make them true. But because they're true, we get baptized. I want to go through these things. This is my Son. The starting with this is my Son. The things that the Father spoke over Jesus that amazingly enough, as we through the revelation of who Jesus is, we actually become like Him. We actually step into the way that the Father felt about Jesus is the same way that the Father feels about us. And so the first thing He says is, this is my Son. And as He spoke over Jesus, He was also speaking over the people that would follow Jesus. Galatians 4 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those under the law. This is Galatians 4. Sorry if I didn't say that. Redeem those under the law that might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. You know, one of the revelations realized in baptism is that you have a new identity. That you have moved from slave to sonship. That you've actually exchanged one inheritance for another. It talks about being an heir. That you no longer inherit the things that on the earth that you've built, but you inherit kingdom. You have a new inheritance. You're an heir to a different line. You have a different father. That's a good word. We've been invited into a new family. I know a bunch of us spent time with family this last week. Maybe truer than now ever. You want a new family? No? So that's supposed to be funny. Man, you guys are feeling a little heavy today. Am I not smiling? Too soon, yeah. Let it go. Or some of us just don't have family. We don't have family to go visit. We don't have family. And our heart's cry is just to have family. Or maybe there's just certain people in your family you'd replace. Like, well, most of my family's good. But the fact is that through the blood, through the death and resurrection, through the blood of Jesus, we've been adopted into a kingdom family, a heavenly family, with God as our Father. And it changes our future. And baptism, obedience in baptism, this public display is a grasp or an understanding or a revelation that I'm actually being baptized as a new person with a new family, with a new identity. It's why it's so important to go from just obedience to inspiration. You know, as a slave, we're no longer, right? It says we're no longer slaves, but we're free, or we're sons, sonship. There's a difference between a slave can be obedient without a relationship. Now, when we trade, when we become a son or a daughter, it doesn't mean we put obedience behind us. But there's actually a higher calling for obedience. It's actually the next part. Whom I love. It's love. We're actually no longer just inspired to obey, but we're actually inspired out of an understanding that we're loved. We sang a whole bunch of songs about being loved and loving. We're inspired by the idea that we are loved. I'm inspired. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels, demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a good word. The second revelation that we grasp is that we are loved. We're not just liked a lot. We're actually going to get to that a little bit. It's not just that He really likes us. It's actually that we're loved, and that being loved actually changes, affects, establishes identity. It's not separate from sonship. It's inclusive and part of it. But actually being loved establishes an identity. It's not just something that happens to you. It actually becomes who you are. In baptism, when we get baptized, we're showing and telling the people in our lives that I am loved. I'm loved. And I'll live and behave, communicate, walk like someone that is loved. You know, we've all experienced what the feeling of, even just on earth, what the feeling of not feeling loved feels like. And normally we don't give our best to the people around us when we don't feel loved. We tend to not give people our best. Well, I'll leave it at that. And so when we get baptized and when we make this public display of an internal conviction or revelation, part of that conviction is I am loved. From this point on, I will behave, I will believe, I will interact with others, holding on to the idea that I am loved, that God loves me. And there's nothing that can separate me. No mistakes that I've made or anybody else has made. No amount of time that will separate me from His love. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you act. It changes everything. And as if those two things, being a child of God and being loved, as if those two things weren't enough. There's actually a third thing. That he speaks over Jesus at this moment, and it's, with him I am well pleased. This is actually a little bit harder to talk about in church because we don't always believe that it's true, and it's hard to think about God being pleased with us. I think it is easier when you do something really good. You know? Like I helped out at the Thanksgiving feed. That's good. I'm sure God was pleased with that. Or when we, you know, whatever. But then there's all those countless other things that we can look at and go, there's just no way God can be pleased with that. There's just no way God can be pleased with that thought, even. Or those words that I said. Or that way that I behaved. Or that, like, there's this, how can God be pleased? And I wanna say this, is it's so important. That God can be pleased with you and not everything that you do. You know, there's times when it's easy to see in with your kids. There's times that I've, you know, wanted to strangle my children. Where I don't think them or me would describe that moment as I'm pleased. But the fact is that I'm not saying that God wants to strangle you sometimes. Maybe he does. But the fact is that even in those times, if the situation is stripped down, I'm still pleased. They still, not just loved, because that's true always, but actually pleased. There's so many things that I'm pleased about, just in my own children. And in my limited capacity to even understand what's going on. And God has so much more. And that sometimes I believe that we actually cripple ourselves. And that we focus more, especially after we have an encounter with Jesus, we actually focus a lot more on our behavior than God does. I'm not saying he ignores it. I'm not saying that we don't sometimes behave in ways. Sin still disappoints him. And always will. But I believe that we actually dwell on it a whole lot more than he does. We focus on it and are crippled by it a whole lot more than he is. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." I don't know if I believe that. I'll just read that again. It's like that can't mean what I think it sounds like it means. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy in love. Those who are being made holy. Perfect forever. How long is forever? When did forever start? Long time ago. Yeah. This forever actually started at the cross. The resurrection of Jesus is when this forever started. That we were invited into a covenant through his blood that actually makes us perfect. Now, that doesn't mean we're without blemish or mistake, or it doesn't mean that we... I just love the balance and the challenge of the truth that's held in tension of how is it then God can look on us with favor and perfection when we sin. The only answer is Jesus. The only answer is death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only answer is what we're doing in that baptism. That's the only answer. Because without that, it can't be reconciled. It just can't make sense. How many of you ever put colored lenses on? It doesn't change the color of everything. It just changes the way you see it. And God in his... I mean, this just blows me away. But in the way that he chooses to see us, He wears glasses colored by the lens of Jesus. It's not that He doesn't see us. He sees us. But He chooses to see us through the perfection that is Jesus, that is cast on us. I mean, that's amazing. And so in that, He sees us, and just as He spoke over Jesus, He's pleased. He's pleased with us. Pretty amazing. It's so important that we remember, again, where I started, is that it's through Jesus, and it's the revelation that's inside you currently is what leads you to baptism. These things don't become true when you get baptized. They're true because Jesus died on the cross and you accepted that revelation. You internalized, grabbed a hold of it and say, this is what I believe. And because you believe that, you should get baptized. Baptism doesn't make it true. It's true so you should get baptized. Does that make sense? Are we still on track with that? So it's so important to get them in order because we get them out of order so much. We want a list of things that if I do this, if I, you know, follow the rules, if I get the, okay, I've checked these things off. If I do all those things, then I'll be in right standing. And I totally get it. I totally get wanting to do that. The challenge is that anytime we make a list like that, I'm not saying lists are bad or that obedience is bad. It's not. But anytime we want that more than the revelation of who Jesus was, we take the power out of the cross. And we put the power in the list. We put the power in the water. We put the power in the action. We put the power in the bread and the cup. We put the power in whatever it is that we're doing. Now, there is power in it. But the power you're looking for is in Jesus. We can't forget that He's the way, the truth, and the life. And everything else is a representation. It's a public demonstration of an internal conviction, an internal revelation. That if you are ready, if you believe that Christ died on the cross, that you are that you have been adopted into sonship, you are loved, and that what's the third one? Somebody preach this thing. Oh yeah, He's pleased with you. And that he can look on you with pleasure. If you believe those three things, then you should get baptized. If you don't believe those things, you're just taking a bath. Which is fine. If you need one, that's fine. But it's the revelation of who Jesus is that leads to the baptismal tank. Not the baptismal tank that leads to the revelation. You guys all okay? I skimped ahead of my notes, but they were really well organized. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. So when do we get baptized? Well, when the tank is full and warm is a good time. But I'll answer that in saying I kind of answered already. But whenever you're ready to publicly declare and let us celebrate with you that you've been adopted into a heavenly family, God the Father, that you know and are grabbing hold of the power of being loved. And that you consider yourself through Jesus worthy of His pleasure. If that's you, then now's the time. Now's the time. The first time we did a baptism here, I actually baptized, one of the people we baptized was Steve Clark, who was the worship leader at the time, had been baptized before. But what he realized was that when he first got baptized, he was a teenager, and that he got baptized out of fear. He got baptized for the wrong reasons. These are his words, not mine. I didn't tell him that. He came to me and said, "Man, I feel like I preached a message kind of similar to this." And he said, "I feel like I got baptized into the wrong covenant. I got baptized into a covenant of fear and obedience and not sonship, love, and pleasure. And I want to get baptized again." And I'm like, "Perfect." And so he was actually one of the first ones that we baptized. And he baptized some of his youth pastor at the time too. And he baptized the kids from the youth group. And so I want to throw this out there. If you have never been baptized and this is where you're at, then you should get baptized. But if you have been baptized and you feel like the covenant you stepped into isn't this covenant, isn't the covenant of freedom and love and relationship with Jesus, then get baptized again. Go for it again. There's no limit. There's not a problem with that. If you wanna go for it, go for it. So we're gonna be doing this. Like I said, next week. Ideally, the water will be warm, and it's gonna be pretty much, as you can imagine, the focus of our time together, celebrating and we'll talk a little bit more about it as we kind of get into it, but kind of overview into it, but. I just want to, it's just an invitation. If you don't feel ready, that's fine. If you do feel ready, join us. Plan to jump in there. If you make a plan, you can bring a towel and you can bring change of clothes, because we're going to have some food afterward. We're doing a potluck after that. And because anytime we celebrate, we have to also eat. We're going to be doing that also together. But you never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do in the moment. So maybe if you don't know, if you're on the fence, you should just bring something to change into anyway. You might find yourself in the tank. You never know what God's going to lead you into. But so I want to pray, but I want to take the moment for us to just, I mean like 30 seconds literally, for us to just really just ask the Lord, whether you got baptized or not, whether you, like, do I need to get baptized? And if you feel like, I feel like I'm in the right spot, everything, then that's amazing. But if you're feeling that pull in your heart, I would just not fight it. Just don't fight it. Like, embrace it and go through like this. I'll tell you what, like, the Holy Spirit can teach you way better than I can. Like, all these words have to apply to the 100 people in this room. But the Holy Spirit can actually speak directly to your heart exactly what He is trying to tell you. And so I encourage you, just take a minute. But for the rest of this week, if you're feeling that pull, stop and listen. What's the Holy Spirit telling you? It might not be about getting in there. It might be about something totally different. But listen. Just take a minute and listen. What's He telling you? So let's just pray. Lord, we just thank You. I thank You for the act of baptism. That there's actually something we can do to step into obedience. And there's something we can do to show You, but also our family and friends, in our church, the revelation that has happened and going on inside of us. Thank You, Lord, for that gift. And I just pray an extra level this week of sensitivity. I hope and pray that we're always getting more sensitive. But Lord, I just pray an extra level that as this opportunity is approaching us to get baptized, Lord, I just pray this. You just stir us up. If that's what we should be doing, You just stir us up. Stir us up to do it. Help us listen. Help us hear. Speak loudly and clearly. that we would know your heart, know your will, know your love for us. In your name, Jesus. Amen.